We are holding on test summit bays, 6 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that if one person is riding on an animal and says he sees a lost object, says to another person who's with him, give it to me, and the person gives it to him, and the person picks it up and says, I'm zoche in it, then he's zoche in it, and then he gets to keep it. If he gave it to the other guy and said, I need zochisi batchila, that I acquired it first, then I was zoche in it first, then that doesn't count for anything, because we assume he gave it to him as a gift. And then we brought in a Mishnah in Peah that we're going to now relate back to this, where we had a machloikus where a person collects Peah on behalf of somebody else. Rabbi Eliezer says that works, and the Chachamim say it doesn't. You have to give it to the first owner you found. So we said that Ula quoted Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as saying that the machlokas is only if a rich person is collecting it for a poor person, because a rich person himself is not entitled to pay it. The only way he's going to be entitled to it is if he's master all his possessions. That's one migui. Number two, you want another migui that because he's able to be zoche for himself, or would be able to if he was master his possession, therefore he can also be zoche in it on behalf of somebody else. Whereas the Chachamim said that we don't do that. So if it was one ani picking up for another ani, you only need one migui, then fine. But if you have, if it requires two migui's, the Chachamim aren't going to allow that. So Amalei Rav Nachman Ola, the Lema Marmi ani lo ani machlokas. Why Ola? Why are you saying that machlokas is dafka when a rich person picks up pay on behalf of a poor person? Let him say the Lema Marmi ani lo ani machlokas. Why don't you say that the same machlokas would apply also one poor person picking it up for another poor person? Which would mean, in other words, so Rashi says that if we look at it that way, it might be the Chachamim say we don't even say one migri. We don't even say the concept migri de zochi the nafshe zochi nam lakadre, that since he would have been able to acquire it for himself, he's able to acquire it on behalf of the other person. Maybe the Chachamim don't agree with that. Maybe that the Chachamim don't agree with that concept, as we'll see when we quote our Mishnah. Tosfos learns differently that we might say maybe fine. They would agree with the concept of migri, but they would argue on something that we touched on the other day, and we're gonna talk about a little bit migri. This concept that because you're able to be zoche in it for yourself, you could instead be zoche in it on behalf of somebody else. Fine, maybe the Chacham will agree with that basic concept, but maybe not when it is, as we started talking about yesterday, and as we'll talk about further in the Gemara today, tofus l'bachay v'makam shachav l'acherim, where you're taking something which is then impinging on somebody else's rights. For example, you're taking from the loiver, from the debtor, to pay off one creditor when there are other creditors as well.
So you're saying here, an oni takes for another oni, you're saying away from the third oni?
Basically, we might say that the Chachamim argue on that basis. Right, they would say, in other words, fine. We agree that if there's no other anim involved, let's say, then fine. One oni can pick up, then one oni can pick up on behalf of another. Maybe even you could use the double migri, but not where it impinges on the rights of other anim. That's how Tosfos learns it. Rashi says it's rather that maybe the Chachamim don't hold the concept of this first migri at all, that migri, that because a person can be zocha for somebody else, therefore he can be zocha for himself. Anyway, how do we get that? Because after all, when it comes to a lost object, everybody is in the position of an ani. Everybody has an equal right to it, just like all the anim have a right to pay it. Well, it's not, and we learned in our Mishnah, if one person is riding on an animal, he sees a lost object, and he says to his friend, give it to me. We said that if the friend picks it up and says, we don't mean literally an ani, we mean that everybody, when it comes to a metzia, is in the same position as an ani is relative to paya. Every ani is entitled to paya. Every person, rich or poor, is entitled to a lost object. That's what we mean, I call ani in that. And the Mishnah had said, not lava ama ani zochi siba, if the person who picks up the metzia says, I was zoche in it, before giving it to the other guy, zochaba, then indeed he's zoche in it. Now, iyamet b'shleim ani lo ani machloikas, so therefore, if you're going to say that, as Rav Nachman continues his argument, if you're going to say, like, I'm arguing that the meaning of the Mishnah in Peah is the Chachamim are arguing, regardless who it was, picked up the Peah, whether it was a rich or a poor person, either, again, because Rashi says we don't hold a migur de zochi v'nafshe, or according to Tosfos, because it's ha-tosfos l'bachay v'makam shachav l'achedim, because you're impinging on other people's potential rights, then you could say, masnissin mani rabbanim. Fine, you could say that our Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanim. Our Mishnah here in Bava Metzia that talks about this case of Ra'a Sametzia and says to the other person to pick it up, and the other guy ends up being zoche in it for himself. So Rashi explains then, if we went that way, we would say that there's a chiddush in the previous Mishnah, and there's a chiddush in our Mishnah. The previous Mishnah had been the case where the previous Mishnah had been on had been the case, the first Mishnah of the Masechta, where you have two people riding on an animal, where we said that then you apply the concept of migur dezochel nafshei, because he's being zoche in it for himself, because he's actually being zoche in it for himself, not just potentially. Therefore, he's able to be mezake part of it to the other person also. Therefore, they can both end up owning half the animal. And then our Mishnah would be telling us that if he's not zoche in it, then we don't say that he could have been zoche in it, and therefore is zoche in it on behalf of the other person. So that would work out well. Eli Yamat the Osher of Ani Machlokas, but continues Rav Nachman, if you're going to tell me that, Ula Omer Rabbi Shurban Levi said, that the machlokas in payah is only where it's a rich person because he himself is not able to take payah, and therefore it's a question of whether you have to apply a double migri or not. But you're going to argue that if it's two aniyim, everybody would agree that he can be zeicha for him. Hamani, then who would our Mishnah be like? Lo Rabbanan v'lo Rabbi Eliezer. It seems to be not like the Rabbanan and not like Rabbi Eliezer, because again, if we say that Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can always have a rich person can take pay on behalf of a poor person, and that works. And a poor person can take pay on behalf of another poor person, and that also works. The Chachamim say a poor person also can take on behalf of another poor person, and it works. Yet in our Mishnah, we see, on the face of it, the person is picking up the Metziah, and he's being zoche in it for himself, not for the other person. Why?
The Baal Mishnah is the same story. I mean, the first Mishnah could be the same thing. Either he was willing to share with the guy, or if he would have...
No, but here we're saying, in our Mishnah we're saying, Ani Zachisibah, that when he picks it up, he says, Ani Zachisibah, I'm Zoche in the whole thing. And he's Zoche in the whole thing. We don't say that he splits it with the other guy.
Right.
So there, so...
What do you go to?
That's the question. Who would it be like?
We can say in our Mishnah, maybe he didn't have the kavanah to Zoche for another person.
Right, but the point is, though, that if we're going to say... Right, but... That, but then there's no chiddush in that. Obviously, if he doesn't have in mind to be zoche for the other person, he's not. So, yeah.
So, because when he made the agboy, he was thinking to...
If he's thinking to be mezakeh...
Then he changed his mind.
Well, Rashi mentions that soon, yeah, that we could say that he's claiming that at the time I picked it up, I had it in mind for myself, right. But, yeah.
It's not a straightforward case.
Right, well, that's... Yeah. Omalei, so Ula answers, and Masnis into Amat Tchila. Yes, but our Mishnah is talking about, it's not, when he says Ani Zachisiba, Ani Zachisiba does not mean that I had in mind at the beginning to pick it up for you and now I changed my mind. I mean, Tchila, to begin with, when I picked it up, I say that I had myself in mind. And fine, you know, we can believe him because we don't have any reason not to, basically, yeah. So that's different. So yes, maybe Hamagbiya Matsiya La Khaver Kona Khaver. Maybe we would say when we say Migud Zoch Nafshe Zoch Nam al Khavre could apply both if he picks it up actually or if he's actually Zoche in part of it for himself, or potentially he could have been. But in our Mishnah, we're not talking about that. In our Mishnah, we're talking about that he picked it up and says afterwards, before he handed it over, I actually, when I Lachatchila picked it up, I didn't have you in mind at all. I had myself. And the Gemara says, Hachinami Mestabra. In fact, it seems logical to understand the Mishnah that way. Dekatani Seba, because after all, the Mishnah continues. Im Mishnosna Loi Oma Ani Zachisi Batchila, because the Mishnah continues. If after he gave it to him, he said I was Zeche in it first, Loi Amakum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. Now, you have to ask, Tchila B'Sefer Lomali. Now, why does he even have to mention the word Tchila in the Sefer? What does it mean? What's the difference whether he says Tchila or not? And if he gave it to him and didn't say Ani Zachisiba Tchila, if he says at that point Ani Zachisiba, wouldn't make a difference. It's already in the other guy's hands. Obviously, even if he doesn't say Tchila, he means that before I gave it to you, I was Zeche in it. There's no way he could possibly be Zeche in it now after he gave it to the person. Necessarily, he must be trying to say that I actually had in mind for myself to take it first. But nevertheless, it's too late. He already gave it to the other guy, and therefore that's it. The fact that it mentions Tchila in the Sefer, El Alav HaKamash Malon, therefore it must be that that's what the Mishnah is trying to tell us, Reish Da'am Tchila, that actually the reason why it mentions Tchila in the Sefer is to tell us that in both cases he's saying Tchila. The difference is, so the only difference is he still holding it in his hands or did he already give it over? If he's still holding it in his hands and said Tchila, it works. But if he handed it over, even if he said Tchila at that point, doesn't help. But if he hadn't said tchila, if he picked it up with tchila, intending to give it to the other guy, yes, and hadn't yet said, I'm intending to be zoche in it for myself, yes, maybe we could say that he's actually koine it, he's actually zoche in it on behalf of the other guy.
We have to try and sort of say, let's say tchila, and we should have said it in Eresha then.
Because that's the thing. Because he's arguing that we mean that's the thing. He's arguing that the word tchila goes on both cases.
Yeah,
if you only had it in the resha, you would think that only in the resha that only in the resha he said tchila. In the sefer, in the sefer maybe not. In the sefer maybe not. Maybe you would say that if he doesn't say tchila, then it doesn't help. Or maybe if he says tchila, then retroactively it means that he had it. No. Therefore, it had to say it.
With a sefer, we came to that conclusion. Why we could not come to the same conclusion if it's in the ratio?
Because in the ratio, because according to what we're saying over here, there's a difference in the ratio. There is a difference in the ratio whether you say tchila or not. But there's also there also potentially you could think there would be a difference in the sefer if he says tchila or not. So by saying it in the sefer, it means going back on both cases. The Mishnah is not going to tell us two completely different cases. There's going to be a certain relationship between them. So if in one case it's telling us that he said tchila, by implication it means that the other one is also telling us that he said tchila. Okay. But only because he said tchila, only because he said.
The same question.
Yeah. But that's,
I have another question. I mean, you could say since you find tchila in the sefer and on the resha, you say the sefer it applies tchila. It's a different case. And
well, that's what Rav Nachman is going to argue about. That's what Rav Nachman is going to say. Wait, but Ula,
way,
right?
Yeah.
But Ula is understanding it. That no, once it says tchila in one part, we understand it to be applying. We understand it to be applying in both parts because we don't want the two halves of the Mishnah to be too different from each other.
Now, with regard to this, the statement that we said that you could be when you first picks up something there also exactly for a friend. In this case, where he's picking it up and his friend says, "Take the bitzir and give it gives to him." Why isn't the automatic zeicha half for himself? Because he could be zeicha.
If he had in mind to be zeicha half of it for himself, then sure. But we're talking about where he did. It's one or the other. Either the two cases.
Automatic.
Right. No. The,
that's just because the statement we said that will automatically pick up the seer, you could be being zeicha for yourself.
No, because it still requires your das. We're going to talk about that soon in connection with Dalet Amos. But any kind of pinion requires your das. The idach, whereas Rav Nachman would argue back, no, Tana Sefer, like a lawyer Resha. It says Tchila in the Sefer to tell us that's different than the Resha.
No.
Sefer Dama Tchila, Resha Dama Tchila. Namely, there is a difference. There is a certain similarity in both. There is a certain other similarity in both cases that in the Sefer necessarily you had to have said Tchila. Because if you don't say tchila, then there's no point in it.
Right.
Then there's no point in it. So therefore, in both cases you're trying to argue that I picked it up having in mind for myself to be koyin it. The only difference is that in the sefer he makes that explicit by saying tchila, because obviously if he didn't pick it up tchila having in mind for himself, then there's of course nothing to talk about. But in the resha, it doesn't matter, regardless whether he picked it up for the other guy or not. Rav Nachman would say that he can't be koinet, that according to the Chachamim, you can't be koinet on behalf of the other guy. Just like Rav Nachman would understand by peya, that regardless whether it's a rich person or a poor person picking up a peya, either way he can't be koinet on behalf of the other guy. So, further in this connection, Rav Nachman Rav Chista Dami Tavayu, a related concept, Hamagbiya Metzila Chavera Lekona Chavera. Rav Nachman and Rav Chista both say that if somebody picks up a metzia for somebody else, the other person is not koine. So we started talking about this the other day. We mentioned that we said that Rami Bachama had said that the other guy is koine, and we had Rava arguing with him on it. So now Rav Nachman and Rav Chista are saying that does not work. If one person picks up a metzia having in mind for the other person, the other guy is not koine, which is how Rav Nachman understood our Mishnah as well. That's why the guy riding on the horse is not koine. Unless the guy actually gave it to him, which at that point, once he gave it to him, then fine, and, you know, he gave it to him as a matana, basically.
But not to begin with.
My timer, have a tofus l'bal choy b'mokam shechav l'acherim. The reason is because it's the equivalent of taking mammon from one person to pay another where he owes other people as well. So taking money from a loiva to pay one of his creditors, one of his malvim, when there are other people he owes money to also. And you can't do that, because by what right are you doing that when you're doing it, there are other people who have equal claims on him. You yourself, if you yourself are one of the creditors, that's different. You're entitled to take for yourself ahead of either other people. That's not your problem. But if you're a third party over here, then you don't. Rashi says actually that this is specifically talking about if you didn't appoint the guy as a shliach, if he just went on his own and did it. Tosfos argues on the basis if you appoint the guy as a shliach, then Rashi would say that works.
To preempt other people.
Tosfos argues with that on the basis of a story that we learned in Ksuvos, that even you made him a shliach, it still doesn't work. And there is a vast amount of discussion among the Rishonim and Achronim about pros and cons of Rashi's versus Tosfos' opinions. In what cases, I mean, Tosfos has a good point. We see from a story in the Gemara over there that having a shliach doesn't help. So there's a lot of different answers. The creditor himself, the malva himself, there's no question, is able to. So if anything, that's what we're talking about. So there's a lot of different answers. It could be for one of the many answers is that there's a difference whether he appointed the shliach with Edim or not. The Shach makes a distinction that if he hired him, then that's different. There's at least a dozen different explanations of how we could say how Rashi can say that it could work if you have a shliach versus Tosfos saying that it doesn't. Anyway.
But it's a different case because in that case you're talking about a type of property that's already encumbered. In our case, there's no encumbrance to say.
So that's what we're going to mention at the end, that there is a slight difference. But for right now, the Gemara is assuming that it's the same thing, because just like in that case, you're preventing the other creditors from collecting from this guy because you're taking these nechassim. The same way over here, you're preventing the other people from taking this metziah. You're preventing other people who could potentially take. Okay.
Not.
Fine. Well, when we get to the end of the sugya, we'll see. Isve Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rava asks on Rav Nachman from a braisa, mitzias poel la'atzmoi. A worker, if a worker finds something, he himself is entitled to keep it. When does this apply? If the owner, if the balabas, the employer, told him, for example, weed with me today, or hoe, or do a particular kind of field work for me, and then in the middle he found a metziah, so now finding that metziah was not part of his job, so he'll have to deduct that amount of time from the amount of time that he worked, because he wasn't working while he was finding that metziah, and then make sure to take that off his timesheet so he doesn't get paid for that amount of time. But the actual metziah itself belongs to him because the balabas never hired him to find that metziah.
I guess it's a public field, right?
Yeah, obviously we're talking about that. It's a metziah. Aval omalei asemi melacha. Yeah, because even we say chaser shalom kona, that has to be a chaser amishtameres. So it has to be we'll learn about that later on. But not necessarily. A field doesn't have to be surrounded with gates. Yeah. But the concept of chaser amishtameres we'll deal with later on in the next couple of blocks. But yeah. So aval omalei asemi melacha hayom. But if he told him generically, do work with me today, well, any kind of work he does is included. Therefore, so is finding a metziah. The Gemara is actually going to revisit this concept, and we're going to revisit it on your Beis on the Beis and talk about a couple of different possible explanations of the difference of whether he's saying Nakeshimi versus Aseimi Malacha. This is one of those explanations. Rabbi Yochanan's explanation is what Rashi follows over here, to keep things simple. So then Metziah Sashel Balabaisu. Then the Metziah belongs to the Balabas. Now, so you see, therefore, that the Poyo finds the Metziah, and he's koneh it on behalf of the Balabas. So what are you telling me, that you can't because Tofus the Balchot? Amalei says to him, Shiny Poyo the Yodik Yad Balabaisu. It's different with a worker because his hand is like the equivalent of the hand of the Balabas. So again, Rashi would say because he appointed him a shliach. The Shach would say further, not just he appointed him a shliach, but he's paying him.
What about the
Schiriyah? What about him? I mean, that's what we're talking about, Schiriyah. We're talking about Nakashimi Hayoim Adu. We're not talking about an Eved, we're talking about a Poel.
An Eved, meaning someone who is working all the time for the Balabais. But someone who's a Shkiyah, I mean,
doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter. If you told him today, I'm hiring you today to work for me, and I'm going to pay you X amount, and he finds it today, then
he's also considered Yad Avad.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah. So that's different, in other words, than, for example, in our Mishnah where you just verbally told the guy, pick up the Metziah from Yad. Okay, question is, you're telling me the worker is like the Yad of the Balabas, of the Balabas, Bahama Rav, but what about this that Rav said, we learned it at the end of Bava Kama, we're also going to learn it later on in our Masechta, Poyo Yochalach the Ba'afil Bahatia Yom, that a worker can quit the job even in the middle of the day. So you see, he's not considered like the Yad of the Balabas. Tosfos says that the point of the Gemara's question is, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, at the beginning of the sixth parak, when we start talking about this concept of Poyo Yochalachsaboy, we're going to talk about the idea that even if after he quits and the Balabas is going and looking for new workers to finish the job, if it turns out that wages have gone up during that time, you still pay the worker who quit the full amount for the work he did so far. You don't prorate, you know, deduct from his salary to make up for the fact that now you're going to have to hire workers at a higher rate. You pay him at the old rate, but the point, yeah. You know, we're going to discuss the scenario in detail later on. But in other words, the point is, if we also are talking about where it's not a davar ovid. If it's a davar ovid, then there's different rules apply. But if it's not a davar ovid, if it's not something time sensitive, then for example, you hired the guy, let's say for $10 an hour. He worked for 2 hours and then he quit. So far he's earned $20. Now let's say to get the full, now let's say you go looking for more workers and you find nobody's now working for less than 12 an hour. So you're going to end up having to pay. There's another 3 hours of the job left to be done, and it's going to cost 36. It's going to cost you $36. So altogether now you're going to be out then $20 plus $30, $56. Whereas if the guy had worked for you the whole time, it would have been $50. You would think maybe you could deduct that $6 from his salary. No, you can't. You still have to pay him his full 20. You're going to be paying the other people more. Not his problem.
Because
he was rehired. Because he worked for those couple of hours and then he quit, which he's entitled to do. Right. The halacha. Right. So therefore, so,
and then,
so.
And then he was rehired.
No, not he was rehired. No. He hired somebody else. Somebody else. The Balabas hired other people. The point is, therefore, Tosfos says, you see, that in a way he has a stronger hand than the Balabas. You can't say that his Yad is like the Yad Balabas. Yad Balabais. The answer is Omalei Kol Kamad Lehodavik Yad Balabais. Fine, but the fact of the matter is, as long as he is working, he's still considered Yad Balabais. And Kihodavik Time Achrinahu. And the fact that he has the ability to quit and to get his whole salary is not because up until now he wasn't Yad Balabais, but rather for a different reason that has nothing to do with the whole din that we're talking about being Kona on behalf of somebody else. Just as it says in the pasuk, Ki libnei Yisrael avodim, the Jewish people are my slaves, David says, meaning avodahem b'lei avodim avodim, the Jewish people are slaves of mine, not slaves to slaves. So one yid cannot be a slave to another yid. So to have to work involuntarily and not be allowed to quit would be like being a slave. Tosfos points out, by the way, what about this? Does that mean a person is not allowed to hire himself out for a long-term job? And the answer is that no, because that's just it. And every can't just leave whenever he wants. He can only leave with a shtar, etc. Whereas a person who hires himself out can quit anytime he wants, as we said. Having said that, Hagoris Agurah brings over here from Hagoris Mordechai that said, and the Ramah brings it Lahalacha, that a person shouldn't hire himself out for a term of more than 3 years. Because to a certain extent, there's a pasuk that implies that the maximum amount of time for a worker, for a regular worker, is 3 years. Any more than that, it's being a shtickle like an eved. So they talk about, for example, there are ways of the halacha to have contracts longer than 3 years, among others, that yes, you can quit anytime you want during the time. That even though we made a contract, I'm going to work for you for X amount of time, nevertheless, I still retain the option to quit. Okay. Anyway, the point of the matter is, returning to here, so therefore you don't have any proof that normally one person can be koneh metziah on behalf of somebody else. A poyo, yes, but that's an exception. On the other hand, Amr Rav Chiya Ba'aba Amr Rav Yechanan, no, HaMagbir Metziah L'Chaveri Kona Chaveri. Not like Rav Nachman and Rav Chista say, if one person picks up a Metziah on behalf of somebody else, he is Kona for the other person. Vim Toma Mishnah Seinu, what about the case of our Mishnah where he picked it up and yet he wasn't Kona for the other guy? The difference is, Amr Tnei Oli V'Loyama Zecher Oli. The difference is that in our Mishnah, the one who was riding the animal didn't say, be zoche in it for me. Which then, yes, you could say that when the guy picks it up, if he didn't have in mind for himself, then automatically he's machneh it to the other guy. He said, tnehali, give it to me, implying that I don't want, even though it could work for you to pick it up and me to be zoche in it, I don't want to do that. I want to be koine only when you hand it to me. Well, in that case, so the guy, only when you hand it to me am I going to be koine. In other words, I don't want to be koine via you. I want to be koine with hagbar or meshecha or what have you. Well, then fine. He has the option. He doesn't have to be koine through the other guy. So if he had said tcheali, then it would work. But because he said tcheali, then that amounted to saying that you're picking up is not, I'm waiving my rights to be koine that way. Well, in that case, yeah. So then, and therefore it works. Yeah. Now, so then the question is, how does that fit with the halacha? The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, Hamagbim Atzil Chaver Kana Chaver. On the other hand, the halacha is also Atopus of Achoy from Makam Shechav Lachayim Lekana. Rav Nachman and Rav Chista argued that it's the same thing. If one implies the other, we're saying that not. Especially Tosfos points out Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that Hatofus the Baal Chayv doesn't work. So how do you reconcile the two? So Tosfos gives the answer that in the case of somebody who's Tofa, the Tofus the Baal Chayv, the Loiva doesn't owe him anything. So what kind of migur does Zacha the Napshe? What do you mean, because you're able to be Zoche for yourself, therefore you're able to be Zoche on behalf of other people? You can't be Zoche for yourself. Like, I don't owe you anything. Mashenkin over here, Matzia, is open to the whole world. Then you could apply it.
Over there, it's not.
Over there, it's not, because, yeah. There's different other answers. There are other Rishonim, I think, the Ramban and others, who give a different answer, that there's a difference between Topus the Baal Chayv, where you're actually causing the other creditors to lose out, because, you know, here they had a shibud on his property, and now it's taken away from them, versus over here, you're preventing them from gaining something. You're preventing them from gaining a metzia. That's not necessarily the same thing, and therefore you can distinguish one works and the other one doesn't. Mishnah says, Ro'as ha-metziah v'nocha oleh, if somebody sees a metziah and falls on it, intending to be koine it that way, or barach v'hechzikva, but then somebody else goes and grabs a hold of it and then makes a kinyan on it, zeh she-hechzikva zachaba, fine, the person who actually grabbed onto it and made a kinyan on it is zoche in it. You are not zoche in it by falling on it.
Even if it's there for a few seconds, it's like, it's covering the
eye. Yeah. Amar Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish starts off by saying, Mishum Abaka, which again we're going to relate this back to our Mishnah, Mishum Abaka in Bardala, Arba Amas Shal Adam Koina Sele B'chomakim. The four Amas around the person are Koina for him in every place. What we mean by every place, we'll talk about on Amud Bey. My timer, Takina Rabbanan Delay Ostali in Tsuya. The Chachamim made this Takana that a person should be Koina, whatever is in his four Amas, in order that people don't come to fight and to argue like this. You know, you're going to have one person is right near the Matsya or what have you, and another person grabs it from him, it's going to end. That's what we're going to have to figure out. That's what we're going to have to figure out. Tosfos points out, first of all, this doesn't apply in all places. We said B'chol Makim, and we're going to discuss on Amud Beis, does that mean in Rosh HaSarabim, does it mean only in side streets, etc. But Tosfos points out, it doesn't apply for all purposes. It certainly doesn't apply to a Gneva, Tosfos says. You can't say that a Ganev is Koina something by having it within his four Amos. We learned, Tosfos brings the case that we learned way back in Ksubas in connection with Kam Levi Dinabim, for example, that a person is schlepping out a money bag on Shabbos. Then we say the Issur Shabbos, carrying into Rosh Hashanah, bringing into Rosh Hashanah, and the Issur Gneva, where he's taking it out of the owner's Rosh Hashanah, come at the same time. You don't say that he's koine it earlier while it's within his 4 hours. Different Rishonim talk about whether it works also by Mecha Chomemka. Does it work also by buying and selling, or by Matana? Or maybe it only applies to Metzia and Get and similar things that we're going to talk about in Agamar. Amar Abaya. Moisiv Rav Chiya bar Yosef Peya. So Abaya says you should know that Rav Chiya bar Yosef pointed out a contradiction to this statement of Rish Lakish from a Mishnah in Peya. And Omar Rava Moisiv Rav Yaakov Eidi Nizikin. And Rava says that Rav Yaakov Eidi brought a contradiction from something in Nizikin, namely our Mishnah. Omar Abaya Moisiv Rav Chiya bar Yosef Peya is as follows. You have a Mishnah in Peya that says, not on mitzvah Peya v'zorek al-shayr, if somebody picks up, if an oni picks up a little bit of Peya and throws it on some other Peya, and he already collected some Peya, now he takes some of those stalks or whatever and throws them on top of others that are still lying over there, intending as if to say, like, you know, it's all in my reshus now. doesn't work. Eilei baklum. He doesn't have any of it. Matter of fact, Mepharshim say any of it means that not only even the part he threw, we take away from him. Yeah. Nafal loyola continues the Mishnah. If he fell on the payah, to be coined it that way, or paras talisirler, he spread out his talus over it. Mavir noisa himena, they remove him from it. So the Rambam explains that basically the two expressions amount to the same thing. In both cases, it means he loses what he had already, and he loses also what he's covering up over there. Other Rishonim, the Rashba and others, talk about that maybe there is a slight difference. In the one case, we're saying, Ein le baklum, like we take it away from him, and he's not allowed to take it at all. Mavir noisei mena just means we remove him from the scene. If afterwards, before any Aniyim comes to take it, he comes back and makes a proper opinion on it, it will work. And continues the Mishnah, the same thing applies to Shikha. If the owner forgot a bundle of wheat in the field, same kind of idea. It's also part of Matnas Anim. The Mishnah Rishonah, by the way, on the Mishnah over there points out the chiddush of those last words is you would think, Peya, okay, everybody knows Peya is there. So therefore, if he does one of these things, come to him and take it away from him. Shikha, maybe nobody else knows it's there. The whole point is it was forgotten. So maybe the other Anim don't even know it's there. You would think maybe he's not causing them to lose. Nevertheless, we say that, yeah. Okay. Anyway, the Amit, Abishal, Amit, Shalom, Kernis, Lebuchamachim. Now, if you're going to say that a person's four Amits are always Kernis for him, Nichnu Le Abba Amits Didei. Let him be Kernis, this Peah, or this Shikha, just based on the fact of having been within four Amits of him. The answer is, Hachem Maeskin and Deloyama Ekni. Yes, but the case we're talking about over here is where he did not say, I will be Kernis. He did not say I will be koina with these Fuamas. So the question is, are you talking Rabbanan? So what? Since the Rabbanan made the Takana that you can be koina in Fuamas, Kilo Amma, my habi. So what if you didn't say anything? It's implicitly you're koina that way. The answer is no. Here it's different. Kivin de Nofal, because since he actually fell on it, Gali Daite de Minifila Nichele de Nichni, then, like we said, and it's sort of like we said in the Gemara about Chneoli versus Secheli at the end, just before the Mishnah. Yes, similar idea over here. Since he expressed since by falling on it, he demonstrated that he only wants to be Koneh by falling on it, Baba Amos Lo Nichele de Nichni, where he does not want to be Koneh with Dalit Amos. So fine. In that case, you know, we've learned the concept. If somebody says that even though the Chachamim made a certain takana for my benefit, I'd rather do without it. Fine. Shaymin loy. Okay. So you don't want to benefit from the takana of Chachamim. Fine. Then you're not going to be cutting it. Rav Palma, a different answer. Ki takinu le rabbanon arba amos ba'alma. Yes, but you know what? Here's another way of looking at it. Never mind what he intended or what he didn't intend. The whole concept of Dalit Amos only applies out in the wider world. The Sada, the Balat, for example, Rashi says in a Simta, side street, or as we're going to talk about soon, the Sada, the Balabai is like the Kinu Rabbanan, but in somebody else's field, the Rabbanan were not Masakin. True, he has the right to go into the field. True, the Torah gave him the right to go into the field. The Torah only gave him the right. The Eved only gave him the right to walk in it and to pick up Peah. But to the extent that it should become temporarily his chaser and be koine him, it's that kinyan chaser. The Eved or the Chachamim are not mezakeh to him that way. Especially, Rashi points out anyway. Practically speaking, you have many other aniyim. Just like the Gemara is going to say soon about Rosh Hashanah, nobody has their own unique fuamas there necessarily anyway. So, because you have a bunch of aniyim circulating around in the field, so therefore they weren't missing. And the Ritva adds also. I mean, you have the right to go into the field. You don't have the right to stand around in there. The place where you'd be able to be koina in Dalit Amos is, for example, a place where you'd have the right to hang around, like in Sidur or Sarabim or whatever. Here, you don't have you're only in there for the purpose of collecting payah, and then you're supposed to go out. So therefore, no Dalit Amos in the first. Well, you have the ability. Yeah, okay. By the way, before we continue further with this, I should mention that Rebbe talks about in Kuntres in Yonah Shalteres Achzidus the deeper idea behind this business of Kinyan Dalit Amos and of some of the details that the Gemara is mentioning over here. The Dalit Amos represent the lower four levels of a person's neshama: nefesh, ruach, neshama, and chaya. What makes it possible for those to be koina something on behalf of a person is the yichida, which extends out into those Dalit Amos around the person. A person's yichida extends out a certain distance around him. that because through the Yechida, the Rebbe explains, the Rebbe is talking about in connection with the idea, just like Torah Chassidus is the Yechida among Pshat, Remez, Jerush, and Sod. It illuminates all of them and makes them all come alive. The same way over here, the Yechida has an effect on the other four, that therefore when it comes to a Metzia, as we're talking about over here in the Gemara, or Mekach Memko, according to the deist that it works with that, is it makes it possible for you to have something be brought into your Rishus, which you can then use for your Avodah. Which you can then use for your Avodah Hashem.
The Yechida is not directly connected to Gashmius. That's the point.
That's the point. In other words, it itself, right, but it's by working through the Dalet Amos, by working through the Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, it makes it possible that this object, which you now are able to have a shaychus to this object and bring it into your possession and use it now for Avodah Hashem. Because that's the Yechida It doesn't directly deal with Gashmius, but it deals with the Kedusha that's in Gashmius. It deals with the sparks of Kedusha that are in Gashmius to be for you to be able to take them and elevate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And therefore, that's what the Rebbe explains. That's why the Gemara is saying over here, for example, that it doesn't even require your das per se. And also, for example, that in a way it's stronger than Kenyan Chotzer. Chotzer needs to be Mishtameres. Your Dalet Amos doesn't have to be Mishtamer. It has to be that you didn't specifically say you don't want to, as we said in the first answer of the Gemara. Falling on it shows that you don't intend to use Kenyan Dalet Amos. But as long as you didn't say it or imply anything to the contrary, then it works, even though it's in a simta, even though it's not mishtameres. Yeah. Okay. So that answers the question from Peah. Amar Rava Moisiv Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Nizikin, and Rava says that Rav Yaakov Bar Idi pointed out a contradiction to Rish Lakish from Nizikin, namely our Mishnah. Rav Samatziya Benofaloyala, we said that if somebody sees a Matziya and falls on it, or Bach of a Hechzikba, and somebody else came and did a Chazak on it.
While he was covering it,
the Pashtas, yeah. Zesh Hechzikba Zachaba, the one who makes a Chazak on it, is Zoche in it. What happened to his four Amos being Kone? The answer is Hocha Maiskin and Zloima Ekni. Same idea. You could say that he did not say that I'm going to be Kone with Dalet Amos. And again, the same question, be Tokon Rabbanon Kilo Amamai Havi. So what? Once we have a Takana de Rabbanon, who cares whether we said or not? Takana applies whether you have Das to do it or not. And again,
What is it? Maybe it's Takana.
We just said on Avadala. Jolai also in Suya. We don't want people to argue. We don't want that one person is gonna see a Matsya and is about ready to pick it up, and another guy is gonna grab it from him, and then it's gonna cause fights. Matter of fact, Tosfos talks about at the end of Avadala that you have a case which we learned back in Kedushin called Oni Hamahatik Bacharora. If you have a poor person trying to take a loaf of bread, which is hefker, and roll it along, he's trying to get a hold of it and then bring it into his rishus, and somebody else takes it away from him, fine, he didn't make any kinyan on it yet. Nevertheless, if somebody takes it from him, he's called a rasha. So it's a similar concept over here. With the guy who's taking pay over here, the difference is, Tosfos says the difference is that the other person who wants to take this payah, there's not going to be any other payah necessarily left. So therefore, you have a right to it. A charora is fine. Okay, you found this charora. Instead of taking it away from him, go find your own charora or something. Or not go find, really. Go buy another one, let's say. You know, he's trying to arrange to be able to buy it, and you're going and then taking it, then you're a Rasha. But over here, by Matsya or by Peya or whatever Tosfos says, it's different, because not necessarily is there going to be another one available to sell. Anyway, so this is the idea. Deloy also being Surya, you don't want that there should be fights where one person has it within his Dalet Amos and about to reach out and take it, and the other guy is going to schluck it from him. So again, the answer is kibin the nafal alei, because by falling on gali daita dibin filan nichaned dilenikni, he shows that he wants to be koneh through falling. He thinks that's better than the chachamim sakana of Dalet Amos by Amos lo nichaled dinikni. He doesn't want to be koneh with Dalet Amos. Well, fine. He doesn't want to be koneh with Dalet Amos. He's not going to be koneh with Dalet Amos. Rav Shesha says a different answer. Ki takin rabbanon b'simta. Yes, but b'chlal, the whole takana of Dalet Amos is only in a simta, like a side street or an alleyway or something, not a place where the rabbim go all the time. D'ladachki rabbim, where there's not a big crowd of people. Rishos Rabim. It's called Dachti Rabim, whereas in Rishos Rabim, where there's anyway a lot of crowds, Loi Takana Rabbanan. The Rabbanan never made the Takana of Dalet Amos anyway, because anyway you have nobody has their unique Dalet Amos anyway. And because the person himself doesn't expect that something that's within his Dalet Amos and Rishos Rabim is necessarily going to remain in his grasp anyway, because there's so many people walking by.
That's compatible with the whole thing you said in Shabbos. That you can carry in your Arba Amos. So you have to have an Arba Amos.
You have Arba Amos as far as Hilchos Shabbos, but as far as the halachas of being Koine, of Kinyan, you don't. That's what we're saying. The Tekona, the Chomed, anything in your Dalet Amos, your Koine, it does not apply in Rishos Rabim, Rav Papa says. Rav Shesha says, rather. Okay, the question is, Rav Shlokesh used the expression that Arba Amos are Koine b'chol mokim, in every place. The answer is okay. Kol Mokim Lasu Yitzidur Rishos Rabim. Yes, but the words Kol Mokim come to include the sides of the Rishos Rabim. The sides meaning they're right next to the walls. For example, people don't normally walk right next to the walls. They don't rub against the walls as they walk. Nevertheless, though, that's a place where when there's a big crowd in Rishos Rabim, people might end up in those places also. So you have there's three levels. And there's a simta, which is a side street, like where people go to talk quietly or transact business or whatever. You have Tzidur Rishos Rabim, and then you have the Rishos Rabim itself. Rav Sheshes is saying, in Rishos Rabim itself, you don't have Dalet Amos. In Tzidur Rishos Rabim, since there's usually less foot traffic, because people don't usually walk right next to the walls, and in fact, we learned way back in Shabbos and in other places that sometimes they would put up, they'd put up like stakes to make sort of a sidewalk to near the watch, we learned at the beginning of Bava Kamma someplace or whatever, like they'd put up poles stuck into the ground. Not so much to rest, but like this way people don't walk too close to the wall so they don't rub against them.
That's
awesome. Yeah, so that's what we're saying. No, not necessarily, it's not a halacha about putting up poles. Practically speaking, in other words, there is a distinction between the Tzidur Rishos Rabim and the actual Rishos Rabim itself.
That
you can in Tzidur Rishos Rabim, but not in Rishos Rabim proper. Mafarshim, by the way, talk about when Rapapa mentioned before that the Chachamim were not Masakin Abba Amos in somebody else's field, is he necessarily disagreeing with Rav Sheshes? Rav Sheshes had mentioned not in Rishos Rabim. Would Rapapa say yes in Rishos Rabim, no in somebody else's field? Or maybe they would both agree. The Rambam evidently, and the later Poskim evidently hold that they do agree because they passed in both things. That Dalet Amos don't apply in somebody else's field, and they also don't apply in the middle of Rishos Rabim. Another thing Rish Lakish said in the name of Abba Kohen Bardla, Ktana ein lo chote ve ein lo Abba Amos. A Ktana, a young guru below Bas Mitzvah, does not have a chotzer as far as Kinyan chotzer, and she doesn't have Abba Amos. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that we're talking about a get. Later on, the Gemara is going to revisit that and see whether we're talking about gitin or whether we're talking about other things. So at this point, the Gemara is assuming it means for purposes of a get, that, for example, if her husband threw a get to within her four amas, it wouldn't work. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yanai, yes, the chotzer, yes, the Abba Amos. She does have a Kenyan chotzer and she does have Kenyan Dalet Amos. The Mai Kamifugi, what's the underlying machlokes? Mar Sava chotzer Mishim Yodeh Yisraboi. The one opinion, Rabbi Yochanan says that a chotzer is included because it's similar to her hand. Rashi says, because since the pasuk says by a get, but not on the yoda. The word yad doesn't just mean a person's actual hand, it means anything that's under a person's control, which includes a person's chaser. So therefore, so kihechi de isla yad, just like a ktana has a yad, because once she's old enough, as we learned in Gittin, once she's old enough to understand what a get is, that she received a get, and she understands I'm not going back to my husband anymore, then she's able to receive a get. So if she has a yad, then she has a chaser.
And what's the meaning here? All chaser?
Meaning her own chaser. Her own pastures. Probably not. Then, she doesn't own that chotzer. We learned to get in cases even where the husband grants her a place in his chotzer or whatever, and it works. I guess if her parents grant her a place in their chotzer, yeah, I guess it would work. But
it's a chotzer for a get, but not for a kinyan.
No. Right now we're assuming we're talking about getting. We're going to see later on again whether we're talking about other kinyanim. Right now we assume we're talking about a get. So therefore, so she has a yad, therefore she has a chaser, and if she has a chaser, she also has dalet amos, because that's basically what dalet amos is. It's sort of like a temporary mini chaser. Okay? Umar sofer, whereas Rish Lakish holds, chaser mishum shlichus is rabbi. A chaser is included as an extension of the concept of shlichus, that a person is able to make a shliach, and in particular we learned a great deal in Gittin about how a woman is able to appoint a shliach to receive her get. So a chaser is like a shliach in that sense. But v'chiheche the shlichus lesla, a ktana does not have shlichus, because shlichus only applies to an adult. Only an adult can appoint a shliach. Chaser nami lesla. Well, then she doesn't have a chaser either, says Rish Lakish. Okay. Question is, how could you possibly say that anybody holds that a chaser is considered, it works under the concept of shlichus? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, when the pasuk says about a ganav, that if the stolen object is found in his possession, then he has to pay double. So when the pasuk says biyadai, that it's found in his hand, ainli ala yadai, you would only know from that if it's literally found in his hand. Gagai chaser v'kapei feminayin, how do we know also if you found it on his roof or in his chaser or in his fenced in area? Which means, by the way, Rashi says, we're not just talking about, in other words, that he stole it and then put it in one of those places. Obviously, there's no reason to think he'd be potter in those cases. Rashi says, even, let's say, for example, you're talking about the animal wandered into one of these places on its own, and then he locked the door, intending to steal it. How do we know that also makes him chayiv, even though he didn't lay a finger on the animal? Therefore, the pasuk says, if found, it is found, meaning to include any kind of case where it's found in his possession. Now, the isakadat achotzer mishum shlichus is raboy. Now, if you're going to tell me that a shachotzer is an extension of the concept of shlichus, imkein matzinu shliach l'dvar avera, then in that case, you can say, effectively what you're saying is shlucha shalotim kamaisei, that a person's shliach is like him when it comes to a dvar avera. And we know for a fact that doesn't work. Ein shliach v'dvar avera. So the chotzer can't be his shliach. If the thing is in his chotzer, you should effectively consider as if the chotzer is an independent agent, and therefore he can't be chayav.
You can make the dvar avera just an exception.
No. We learned in kedushin. Tosis quotes over here from a gemara that we learned in kedushin that we have. There's a pasuk in connection with shutechut shechting korbanos outside the Beis Hamikdash that says who v'loy shluchay, that a shliach is not that ain't shliach is varavera, and according to that opinion we learn from there to all other cases. Or the other possibility we said over there is that you had two dinim meila and tvicha doing meila or shechting a stolen animal, where in those two cases, the Torah does imply that yes, shliach is varavera, but only in those two cases. Therefore, shneks and mabayim kaf. One way or the other, there's no way to say that ain shliach is varavera, that yes, that there would be a shliach is varavera as far as gneis. So therefore, we should consider, if you're going to say that the chotzer is considered a shliach, then it can't be considered a shliach as far as gneis. How can he be chayev because his chotzer effectively stole the animal by the animal wandering into it? So Ravina says, yes, but you know, where do we say ein shliach v'dvar avera? Where the shliach himself is somebody who's chayev in that mitzvah as well. A chotzer is an inanimate object. It's not chayev in the mitzvah of lo signov. Therefore, mechayev shocha. Therefore, yes, you could say even the chotzer the chotzer is considered like a shliach in this case, because it's not a bar chiyuv, then yes, the meshaleach would be chayev.
Baal chiyuv meaning
in other words, somebody who's capable of being punished, for somebody who's capable of being punished for the aver. A chaser is not capable of being punished. Okay, so the question is, El Mayasa, by that logic, if you're going to say that it depends on whether a person is subject to punishment or not, what if somebody tells a woman or an Eved Knani, go steal from me, delav bnei chiyuv aninu, now they're not bnei chiyuv, because as we learned in Bava Kama, if you tangle with them, you're in a bad way, because if they commit any kind of hezek, including stealing, they're potter from paying, because they don't have any nechasim of their own. And you're going to tell me that the person who sent them is going to be chayev. The answer is, Amrit, no. You can say Ishava Eved Bnei Chiyuva. No, because the difference is when we say Bar Chiyuva, we don't necessarily mean subject to punishment. We mean that there is a chiyuv on them to do or not to do this action. And actually, well, no, even if it means subject to punishment, they are actually subject to the punishment. They are chayav to pay. Bahashtami or less l'shlomi. As a practical matter, right now they don't know what to pay. It's manners. In fact, we learned further in that Mishnah in Bava Kama, Nisgarsha isha nishtachar eved chayav on the shalom. If the woman gets divorced or the eved gets screwed, then they are chayav to pay. So it's not that they're potter
always,
to be
all the time.
Well, yeah. So it's not that they're actually potter from paying for gneiv. They're chayav. Practically speaking, right now they don't have anything to pay for them, and they for pgiyas and rav. It's different than a chotzer, which is never going to be a barchi.
What about a bar?
What about a bar?
You can say it's a chotzer, but it's chayav.
Well, you're chayav for something falling into it. Yeah. Fine. But, okay, but the pasuk says so in so many words. I mean, here we're learning it out from himate, but yeah, I mean, a bur, besides, the bur b'shus rabim is not necessarily his chotzer. We learned the concept that the bur is not really his, but the Torah makes it as if it's his as far as the chiyuv. Okay. So that's one answer how a chotzer can be a shliach and yet not contradict the concept of ein shliach b'dvar avein. Rav Sama gives a different answer. Where do you say ein shliach b'dvar aveira is where the shliach would have a choice whether to do it or not. But a chotzer, you put the thing into it against its will. It doesn't have any das to protest.
Not yet.
Yeah. Then the one who the mishaleach, the owner of the chotzer, is the one who's going to be chayav.
The one called Dor.
Yeah. So the question is, my binayu, okay, what's the practical, where do you find a difference in halacha between Ravina's answer about whether you're ben chiyuv or Rav Sama's answer about whether you're capable of not doing it? The answer is, ikka binayu koyin da omole li Yisrael, say the kaddish li isha grusha. There would be a difference. Suppose a koyin tells Yisrael, go and be makadish for me, a divorced woman. So, if the difference is like this. The Yisrael himself obviously has no Isser on it. So therefore, you could say the Yisrael is not a Bar Chiyuva. So according to Ravina's answer, therefore, you would say Yesh Shliach B'Dvar Aveira. He's not considered a Bar Chiyuva, and therefore the Mishaleach, the Kohen, is going to be the one who's Chayim.
Even if the Kohen is working for Israel, we had a case.
What's the difference? No, that's we said that, for example, the Israel picks the worker picks something up on behalf of Balabas. That's different. But no, here it's the other way around. The Kohen tells the Israel, go be Makadosh for me. So if you say, if you take Ravina's point about Baruch Yoga or not, the Israel is not a Baruch Yoga, he has no Israel to marry a Grusha. Therefore, it goes back on the Kohen. The Kohen is going to be the one who's Chayev for the Aveda. Whereas if you say that, whereas if you say that it's a question of that he could do it or he could not do it, the Yisrael still has a choice whether to do it or not. He's a bet da'at. Therefore you would still say that ein shliach b'dvar aveira, and it would be the Yisrael would be. He wouldn't get malchus necessarily, maybe, but he'd be the one who did the iser. So Tosfos talks about that. Tosfos talks about. I mean, technically, we learned in kedushin, the kohen himself is not chayiv malchus until he actually has relations with the woman. So what are we talking about, b'chlal over here, the chiyuv about kedushin? So Tosfos talks about two possibilities. First of all, we can still be asking if afterwards he actually has relations with her, is the kohen going to be chayiv malchus retroactively for the lo yikach, for the having been makadosh her, or not? Then that'll make a difference. Second of all, Tosfos says it may even make a difference whether the kedushin are actually chal or not. If the Yisrael is considered the kohen's shliach, then the kedushin can be chal. If the Yisrael is not considered the kohen's shliach, like Rav Sama would say, then the kedushin are b'chlal not chal.
Why would there be some holiday?
Because Rav Sama's way of looking at it is in shliach b'dvar aveira is where the guy has a choice whether to do it or not. Actually, no. So the other way around, rather, Rav Sama would say, therefore, that no. So that yeah, that's just it. So Rav Sama would say the rule that ein shliach b'dvar aveira does apply in this case. The Yisrael has the ability to do it or not to do it. Therefore, we say we use the rule divrei rav divrei tam divrei mishaymin. The Yisrael had no business doing it when he knows that the Eibishter says it's also for the kohen to do. Therefore, Tosfos is saying maybe he's not even considered a valid shliach of the kohen. No shlichus, no kedushin. Whereas according to Ravina, you would say he is. So they talk about, the Achronim talk about a great deal about all the ins and outs of this, about this, about all this business of when the Kohen might get Malkus or not. There is the Menachos Chinuch actually wants to say that the Kohen is actually Chayav, is actually to begin with Chayav Malkus for the Lo Yikach immediately when he's Mekadosher. Practically speaking, it doesn't come in. No, only once he has relations with her is going to. But in other words, it's not like only if he has relations with her then. We would say, in other words, that once he has relations with her retroactively, he's definitely chayev double malchus, one for that and one for the lo yikach. And the Note of Yehuda talks about the ins and outs of it. So, okay. Inami, or another possibility, ishta amalala isha akhtilin katan. Or suppose a man says to a woman, cut off the payas of a katan. Actually, round the corners of his head, take off his payas. Which a woman does not have that issue. She's allowed to cut her own face. So according to the Samo, who says that the key difference is whether the shliach has the choice whether to do the thing or not. So in these two cases, then the mishaleach is not going to be chayev because the yisrael or the woman have the choice whether to be mekadesh the grusha or cut off the face. Whereas according to Ravina, that if the shliach is not subject to the chiyuv or to the punishment for this thing, then the shliach is chayev haninami. Then in these cases, given the lab v'nechiyuv and inu mechayev shochan, then good. Since in this case the yisrael is not chayev and neither is the woman, then it goes back on the shliach and the koyin or the man is going to be chayev the malchus. Tosfos, by the way, discusses the thing. The Gemara had said that if a Kohen tells Yisrael, implying that if one Kohen tells another one, it would be different, because even the other Kohen is not being Mekadosher himself, but he still is subject to the Chiyuv, because he himself is not allowed to be Mekadosh, is not allowed to be Mekadosh or Gurusha, whereas Yisrael is completely out of the picture of that. Other Rishonim learned differently that no, the Gemara could have just as well said a Kohen and a Kohen. There are a lot more Yisraelim in the world than Kohenim, and therefore the Gemara mentioned a Kohen says to a Yisrael, but it would be the same thing according to them if a Kohen says to a Kohen, because the fact is the second Kohen is not a Bar Chiyuv in this case, because he's not being a Kaddisher. So we'll continue the discussion. No, other Rishonim, I think the Rashba and others, yeah. So we'll, the discussion will continue tomorrow, Hashem.
Okay.